You have reached the Every Little Thing helpline. Sweet dreams are made of this. Who am I to disagree?
Hi, Flora. This is Natalie calling. I am fascinated about dreaming, and I'm wondering, how is it that we can sometimes have lucid dreams? Sometimes when I'm dreaming, I'm aware that I'm dreaming, and then I'm able to control the dream. For example, I'm a concert pianist, and one time I dreamt about playing in a dream, and I knew that it was a dream. So anyway, I want to know everything there is to know about lucid dreaming. Thanks.
Hello?
Hey, Natalie, it's Flora from ELT.
Hi, Flora.
I was thinking that we'd do a double episode for this show because I know people love hearing about other people's dreams.
Yes, I love it.
Excuse me?
I get such a kick out of it. If someone says, oh, I had a crazy dream last night, I always ask them to elaborate and give me the details.
You know you're in a very small minority.
I think you're probably right on that one.
I feel sure I'm right. Okay, so you called with questions about lucid dreams. Have you done any research?
I remember Googling it once and found out that a lucid dream is basically when the dreamer knows they're in a dream. Like, you have that moment of recognizing this is not reality and I'm in a dream.
Tell me about your piano playing dream.
So I was preparing for a recital that was about 3 weeks away. It was a solo piano recital. And, you know, this is something that I prepare for months and months. And in my dream, I was in a department store called Von Maur, where they have a live pianist playing. And there were a bunch of chairs set up. I was in this fancy dress. And I realized that I was supposed to perform a recital in the middle of Von Maur.
And you are a concert pianist.
Yeah.
Right? So this is related.
It's related. But in the dream, I said, now, wait a second. My recital is not for another 3 weeks. And suddenly I had this light bulb moment where I realized this is a dream. This is not real. In fact, I don't have to stay here and do this right now if I don't want to. And my plan was, you know what? If I'm in a dream and I can kind of like choose my own adventure, I want to go to Hawaii. That was my next thought.
Not bad.
Right.
What happened?
In the dream, I remember I closed my eyes and I sort of willed myself to be in Hawaii when I opened my eyes in the dream. But unfortunately, I opened my eyes and I was in a post office. It was a letdown for sure.
Natalie, this is the first dream retelling I've ever enjoyed.
I'm honored.
Why are you calling about this? What do you want to know?
Well, I'm just stumped. How does lucid dreaming work? How does this happen? Can you get better at it? And then this is the craziest question, but I've always wondered, can lucid dreaming have some sort of impact on a person after they wake up? And I know that's just such a crazy thought, but is this something that could kind of be used to your advantage?
I am very excited to get you some answers.
Ooh, I'm so excited to find out.
We found the dream guest to answer your lucid dreaming questions.
Hello, Natalie.
This is Daniel Erlacher. He lives in Switzerland, and the view from his office is pretty good.
It's hilly, and you have already the Alps in the background, so it's a very nice place.
Daniel studies lucid dreaming because he thinks it's cool that you can crawl under your duvet and fly around the Matterhorn without leaving your bed. He says the lucid dream world is fascinating.
It looks like reality. It smells like reality. Everything is like the real world, but it's just an production of your brain.
Yeah, it's so true. There's this sense of reality. It definitely feels real in the moment and very vivid.
And in a lucid dream, you don't have the physical laws, for example, or the social laws or the social discipline in your dream. So you are free. So you are just in your world and you can do whatever you want.
So we know lucid dreams are pretty common. Daniel says about 50% of the population has had one. But there's a bunch of stuff we don't know, like why some people dream lucidly and others dream snoozedly, or how dead asleep you have to have one.
Is it more wakefulness? Is it more dreaming? And there are different answers from different researchers.
The other mystery is, can you induce the luce?
Yes, that's one of the big issues in lucid dream research. How do we get people to have lucid dreams?
Daniel spent decades trying to figure that out, starting with a lot of self-experimentation back in college.
I think I tried everything at that time.
And when he says everything, he means everything. Daniel even built himself a homemade dream machine.
What? What in the world?
Yeah, I thought, okay, I need some assistance to realize that I'm dreaming. And I thought, okay, maybe I can build a machine which recognizes my REM sleep stage.
Daniel said he'd seen some research that lucid dreams could be induced by interfering with REM sleep. So that's what he designed his machine to do.
And I had some sensors to recognize those rapid eye movements. And then I had a small light, and this light started as soon as eye movement started. I tried with this machine, and I had electrodes, which I borrowed and stuff like that.
Where did you keep it?
It was in my bedroom, yeah.
This is dedication.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. That sounds really weird and scary, actually.
So after weeks of snoozing with his REM blasting robot, he hadn't had any success, and he started to lose hope.
In a real frustrating night, I threw away all the stuff after I woke up and I didn't have a lucid dream. And then I went back to bed for a short nap. And in this nap, I had my first lucid dream.
What was the dream?
The dream was about that I played basketball in the kitchen of my parents' house. And I was thinking, what? Playing basketball in the kitchen of my parents' house? That's impossible. I must be dreaming. And then I thought, okay, I have to check this. Okay, now I throw a basketball on the basket. And if I hit, then I sure dream. And I threw the ball and I missed the basket. And I was thinking maybe I'm still awake, but then it was just too ridiculous. And then I said, no, this must be a dream. And then I went to the window and I opened it and I tried to fly out of the house and it worked.
Yes.
Wow. So you couldn't make a basket, but you could fly over your house.
Yes, actually. Yes.
I love how he kind of set up an experiment in his dream. Like, if this happens, then I'm in a dream and I'm having a lucid dream. That is amazing, though. And I also try to fly around sometimes.
And have you done any flying?
Yes. Yes.
What's it like?
It almost feels like I'm swimming through the air, sort of. The weird thing is I don't necessarily go up very high. I just sort of like glide around the room.
In your flights, you float 2 or 3 feet above the ground.
Up a few feet. Yeah, a few feet.
So since then, Daniel's never stopped dreaming the impossible dream of inducing lucid dreams. He's spent decades looking for more reliable ways to spark them, and he found one.
Oh, wow. I want to know.
Here's Daniel's method. When you go to bed, set your alarm clock to wake you up in 6 hours.
Okay.
When the alarm goes off, stay up for an hour and think about the dream you just had. Then ask yourself, was there some detail that seemed particularly dreamlike? Like a flying cow or your mother's head on the body of your pet iguana, and write that down.
Okay.
And then you use that as a dream tell, as a dream tip off.
Then say, okay, the next time I see the flying cow, I will realize that I'm dreaming.
So next time you see your mom climbing the window to eat a fly, you'll know, dream.
It kind of sounds like a little hook that you can grab onto and think, oh, wait a second, that's the sign that this isn't real.
Exactly. Okay, so the final step to lucid dream induction. After you've spent an hour documenting your dream, Daniel says go back to sleep, and this is lucid dream prime time.
Wow.
When he tested this method in the lab, it worked.
Every second participant had a lucid dream.
Wow.
And those participants were novices, so they were not frequent lucid dreamers, which was quite amazing.
I'm glad that he figured out a way to do it without all the flash bulbs and contraptions.
I know, this is the stuff lucid dreams are made of.
This sounds much more doable for the average person.
So you asked, can lucid dreams help you in real life?
Yeah, I mean, it's still a really crazy sounding thought.
The answer is yes.
Wow.
There are some things you can get better at in your dreams.
I want to know what they are.
How does the dream maker use dreams to make people's dreams come true? We're going to find out after the break. So Daniel says, yes, people can use lucid dreams to make life better in a couple ways. One, lucid dream therapy can help people suffering from recurring nightmares.
If you suffer from nightmares, you can use your lucid dream state to get rid of nightmares.
You mean just by taking control of them?
Exactly. So if there is a threatening dream character, you just have to face him in your dreams.
Yes, I have done that.
Really?
Yeah.
Tell me about it. What was it like? What were you, or if you don't mind sharing, I don't know if nightmares are more personal than
regular
dreams.
It was horrifying. I was being chased by a dinosaur. So maybe that was already a tip that this cannot be happening. But I was trying to get away and it was trying to attack me.
What kind of dinosaur?
Like a T-Rex. And at some point I thought, now wait a second, like this is not real. This is a dinosaur. And at that moment, I don't know if I already had a rope in my hands, but at that moment I lassoed the thing. I got on its back and I started riding it around. So it was like I turned this nightmare into a victory and a good dream.
Natalie, this is the second dream I've enjoyed hearing in my life.
I'm so glad. So is he teaching people to figure out how to combat the nightmare while it's happening?
No. Daniel is focused on a different way to harness the power of lucid dreams.
Yes. Tell me more.
So here's Daniel's dream scheme. He thinks you might be able to improve certain skills in your sleep to get your reps in while you're resting.
Wow. Okay.
His theory is based on research that shows that practicing something in your mind makes you better in real life.
We have already a lot of research on the topic of mental rehearsal, where you, in wakefulness, just use your imagination to rehearse motor skills or sport skills.
Oh, yeah.
And we know from this mental rehearsal that we get better.
Like if I practiced my golf swing in my mind, my golf swing would get better.
Exactly.
That's interesting, though, because why would that be true?
Because you do the real action in your brain, but what you are not doing is you do not send the commands out to your muscles, but in your brain you produce those commands related to the skill. And this is already helping to improve the skill.
Huh.
So it's like you're practicing everything except the physical motions.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, as a musician, I totally am on board with mental practice and the work that you can get done in your brain without even touching the instrument. For example, sometimes if I'm about to sight read a piece that I've never played before, I look through it carefully and I'm imagining what it feels like, what it sounds like to play it as I'm looking through it. I'm taking in as much information as I can about the key, about any meter changes, about the style. I'm looking for what happens after a page turn so that I'm ready to anticipate that. But I'm telling you that that is a thing for musicians, mental practice, and it works.
So Daniel's theory is that if you can practice something in your mind while you're awake, why can't you do it while you're asleep?
Wow. I've never thought about that.
So to test his theory, he gathered lucid dreamers and had them practice simple physical activities during their dreams, like tossing coins into a cup or throwing darts. Can you picture it?
Yeah.
And here's what he found.
The lucid dream participants were able to practice this task in the dream. And in the next morning, in the real testing, in the real life, they improved their performance compared to the level on the evening before.
Practicing in their dreams made them better in real life.
That's incredible. So somehow they're in a dream, they realize they're in a dream, and then they remember that they need to do this task in the dream. That's a lot.
These are like advanced lucid dreamers in these studies.
Yeah, I won't pretend to be in that club as much as I would love to be.
Working on your scales while you're riding that T-Rex.
Right.
So Daniel has also done studies with athletes who lucid dream to see if this technique works on activities besides carnival games. And he has some anecdotal evidence that it does. For example, his research team talked to a kickboxer who wanted to master this this very specific move of two spinning kicks in a row. And the kickboxer said that practicing in his lucid dream was super helpful because gravity is weaker in his dream world, so he could work on these kicks in slow motion.
Whoa, that's crazy.
And according to this dude, after practicing in his dreams, he said the next time he tried it awake, he nailed those kicks.
That's amazing. Oh my gosh.
And there were about a dozen other athletes with similar stories. But Daniel said there were some hiccups. Like, one martial artist never got around to practicing because he was naked in the dream and he spent the rest of the dream trying to get his clothes back on. A rugby player never got to play because his teammates were too busy getting drunk. A rider's horse kept disappearing.
Shoot.
These are dream world problems.
Right.
So what do you think? Is this making you want to try to use your lucid dreams differently? Tune up on your downtime?
I'm so interested now to play for real in my dream. Like, if I could somehow know that I'm in a dream, get myself to a real piano. Hey, that's what I can do. Right now, I just have a keyboard at home during quarantine, but maybe I can dream myself up a beautiful Steinway and practice on that.
Do you think you would be willing to play us out?
I think we could make that happen. This is a Chopin nocturne in C sharp minor.
I mean, a nocturne seems perfect for this episode.
Honestly, it does.
Every Little Thing is produced by Emily Foreman, Phoebe Flanagan, Annette Heist, and Flora Lichtman, with help from Nicole Pasulka and Doug Barron. Our consulting editors are Caitlin Kenny and Jorge Just. Scored by Natalie Shearer, Bobby Lord, and Dara Hirsch. Mixed by Dara Hirsch. I practice being you in my dreams. Nighty night.
Hi. Hi, this is Bella Gomez. I'm just calling to thank my mom, Sarah Gomez, for working so hard during this pandemic. She was working 12-hour shifts, saving people's lives, and staying up late into the night, just working hard to keep everyone healthy and safe. So, thank you, Mom.